Good evening, church. How's everybody doing? You know, I love Wednesday nights. It's midweek. It's a time of we need renewal. We need refreshing sometimes. And we come here to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear from him and open up his word and what he has for us tonight. So, Lord, why don't we just bow our hearts before the Lord and go to prayer and go to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence, Lord God. We thank your Holy Spirit that we continue to be here tonight and meet us, Lord, where we're at, Lord. Lord, prepare our hearts. So soften our hearts, Lord God, to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. I pray for a fresh touch from you, Lord Jesus. And as always, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. We lift your name up and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You don't need to go now, but you can look up, and we're going to be in Psalm 1 tonight, and we'll be camping there. So if you have your Bibles, go to that, and we're going to get there. As soon as my iPad comes up. Okay. You know, I was thinking how all of us are partakers of God's blessing, each and every one of us that's in this room tonight. And it doesn't matter what the world has to say that's in opposition to God. It doesn't really matter. And you've heard the saying and the expression that when praises go up, blessings come down. And this is true. And blessings and true happiness comes down from heaven. It comes from God. And if I said that to Dan, Pastor Dan, it comes down from heaven, this is what his response would be to me. Show me where that's at, right, Mike? Doesn't he say that to us all the time? Show me where that's at. Well, Dan, I'm going to show everybody where it's at. James 1:17. It says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So we see everything comes from heaven above. And we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's a scripture for that also. Ephesians 1:3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We see here what's being established, that God is not only the author, but he's the giver of the blessings that he pours out on each and every one of us who are believers, who are his children. And what are some of the spiritual blessings? You know, I think of a peace of mind. I think of Jesus. I think of salvation. I think of redemption in his blood. If you continue in Ephesians, we have forgiveness of sins. We have an inheritance. We have Jesus. We have heaven. All these things are given to us with spiritual blessings. So everything that's made available, every blessing that we have has been made available. And so I'm thinking we have these blessings. And we're grateful for receiving these blessings. But the question is, even though we're looking to the future, even though we have to be heavenly minded, so what do we do about it right here when we're here on this face of this earth? How do we approach that? How do we live? Well, how do we live should always look to what God's word has to say. And so open up your Bibles to Psalm 1. And it says, the way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly, blessed is the man. I'm reading the scripture verse, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates in day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly, not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we're going to look at each there's only six verses, but we're going to tear apart each verse, and we're going to take a look at that. And it says, blessed is the man. When it talks about blessed, a lot of times it's referring to as happy as the man. Blessed, that we are recipients of those blessings. And what does it look like? How is a man blessed? What should he do? How does a godly live? And when we're going to look at the first script, the first verse in Psalm 1, it's from a negative connotation. It's negative. It talks about what we shouldn't do, what the godly man should not do. And it says, again, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I'm thinking, we need to define who the ungodly is. Another translation will say the wicked. And we see wickedness in this world all throughout. Just take a look at today and you see the wickedness that's going on. There's wicked people running around in the world today. But it's not necessarily what it's applying to here in this scripture verses. The ungodly are people who have nothing to do with God. Okay? They live their lives as if Christ or God doesn't even exist. These are what it's talking about, who the ungodly are. And they're living their lives in perpetuated with and polluted with sin. They don't know it, but they're living their lives polluted with sin. And they're in opposition to what God's word has to say. There's an irreverence going on from the ungodly. The irreverence is not only toward God's word, but it's toward God himself. It's not only towards God's word, but God himself, but it's also even God's people. There's an irreverence going on today, and this is who the ungodly are. This is the definition of they are. And it's quite obvious, at least it is, it should be to us, is there's a difference. There's a difference between the godly and the ungodly. And a lot of differences are in how we think, how we behave, and who do we belong to. Now, it talks about counsel. And it says, don't walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel, a lot of times, you can interchange the word and say advice, okay? And it's not opinion, it's advice. But the counsel and advice is coming from all sorts of directions, okay? We're hearing it, we hear someone come up, and they give us some counsel, they give us some advice, and we take it and we say, and it doesn't matter where the sources are coming from right now, but we listen to it and we said, that sounds good. That's something maybe I need to do. Or we just ignore it and say, I don't understand that. But the point is, when someone is giving counsel or someone is giving advice, we need to be discerning. We need to be discerning whether it's from God or not from God. Is it godly wisdom or is it ungodly? And we need to be careful of that. When I think about discerning, you think about wisdom. And we need wisdom. I'm not talking about the wisdom of this world. God's word is clear about that. God says the wisdom of this world is foolishness where God sits. So it's foolishness. The wisdom, the counsel from the ungodly is foolishness from God's perspective, and his opinion is the only thing that matters. So who are you listening to? Who are you discerning it? Is it from God or is it from someone else? A lot of people will give you opinions and advice. And you go, say for example, you have a lot of anxiety and you're worried about things, and someone will give you some counsel. Say, don't worry about it. Just, if you do this, if you do that, maybe go take this or do that, it'll resolve all those issues. But godly counsel will say, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Sometimes we feel we're forsaken, we're left alone. And the direction from the ungodly will not be pointing in the right direction. But God's counsel and God's word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we need to be following godly counsel. And the righteous man knows where to find it. He finds it in God's word. Psalm 119, verse 24. It says, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I'm here to tell you that God's word is always the best counsel. This is where we need to go. You want counsel? You want to know how we should live? Then go into God's word. And even when someone you're encountering saying I'm talking with Mike, and I have advice for Mike. My advice should be based on what the word of God has to say. Then if he's speaking to me, I should be hearing him saying the same thing to me, that the Word of God, this is what the Word of God has to say, Ed. This is what the Word of God has to say, Mike. And this is what we need to lean on. This is what we need to trust. We need to trust in his Word. And again, greatest counselors, if you go to a counselor, are those who are relying on the truths of God's Word. And we see here the order of things. New order meaning what? What's going on? What did we just describe in verse 1? There's a progression. There's a progression going on. There's listening, associating with the ungodly, joining in, getting in with them, and also, again, belonging, sitting and taking a position. And first he associates with the ungodly, then he gets in with the sinners, and then next thing you know, he's sitting with and joining them. Okay, and this is what's going on. We need to be careful of engaging in what they're telling us to do, how they're leading their lives. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. We need to be careful. Are we listening what they're telling us to listen to? Are we watching what they're telling us to watch? No, we need to bring this under the light of Jesus Christ, what we should watch. Guard my eyes, guard my ears. All these things should be brought under the light of this word of Jesus Christ. And the thing is, the difference here is going on is we are called to come out. We're called to come out. We're not to be, we're called to be separate. There's a scripture for that. 2 Corinthians 16, it's not up there. It says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So we need to come out. This is no longer who we are. We need no longer take their advice. And God's word is very clear. You know, when you listen to the counsel of the ungodly, I'm going to tell you right now, you're compromising your walk with the Lord. Okay, your walk with the Lord will be compromised. And what you end up doing when you listen to them is you start playing with sin, playing around with it. Well, okay, and that sounds good. And what happens is sin will take you, it will say, wake up one day and say, what happened? Well, see the progression here? Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, okay? It always does. It looks, sin is pleasurable for a season, okay? It'll take you further than ever you want. Someone who takes that first drink, did they ever expect to be in bondage to being in alcohol? No. When someone takes that snort or smoke or whatever it was, it's so long ago, that life is no longer in existence for me today. But no one ever thought they'd be walking in bondage to drugs and all. No one ever planned that. It takes you further than you ever wanted to go. And we need to be careful of walking with scornful people, mockers. I was a mocker. I lived a life, I was scornful. I was a mocker. And you shouldn't be listening to me back then. You know, I had believers that I scared because I was a mocker. I would cut your head off and mock everything that God stood for. But today, God has come in and changed my life. But we need to be safeguarding that. We're no longer supposed to be with them. And we're no longer supposed to be sitting in the seat of the ungodly. 1 Corinthians 15:33, and it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We need to be careful who we're hanging around with, who we're associating, what's going on. We finish verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. If you can put up Psalm 1, verse 2, or if you have our Bibles, we're going to go to it. Are you able to do that? Just go to Psalms 1 through 6. I got it. No, not a problem. I'm going to read it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Delighting in the law of God. It's not talking about the book of Moses, the five books. It's talking about the scriptures. It's talking about entire God's word. It's God's instructions. This is what's going on. When you open up the Bible, when you open up the word of God, is it a delight to you or is it a burden for you? It should be a delight. It should be a joy, okay? And I like to look at it as a delight, as a joy for me. I get excited. I get excited. Like when we meet on, a bunch of us meet on Monday to get together, we're always encouraging one another. Need to read the word. You need to read the word. You need to read the word. You need to be in the word. Okay? And for me, it's a passion. Okay? It's a passion for me. I'm excited by it. And there's nothing wrong with being passionate. I was passionate for so many things. What is so wrong that I'm passionate for the things of God? What is so wrong to be passionate for Jesus Christ? What is so wrong to be passionate and stand up for him and proclaim his name? What is so wrong to be passionate about getting into his word and sharing his word and sowing it in other people's lives, okay? Scripture verse. And this, Psalm 119, 105. Thank you for putting that up. Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word will not only guide you, but will lead you in the path of all biblical truth. And this is what we need is needed in our lives today. We need to let that light to shine. We need to let the light, God's word to guide us. We need the word of God, the Lord's word to lead us into all biblical truth. Without biblical truth, what is it? What is there? Another scripture verse. I talked about being delightful. I talked about having joy. Talking about passion. I love this from Jeremiah. Now, to me, this is passion on steroids, this scripture verse. I love it. I can't get enough of this. Here we go. Jeremiah 15:16. Let this ruminate. Contemplate on what this scripture has to say. I love this. Your words were found, and I ate them. You know, Randy Cupp said we chewed on those words, rather, right? Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me, what? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I love that scripture verse. Is that where you're at? Think about coming to the place where Jeremiah was to pen that, okay? How much he was in the word. Only if you're in the word are you able to say, Lord, your words, I ate them, I chewed on them. They're part of my existence, they're part of my being. And this is who we should be today. This is what should drive us. This is what should encourage us. The word of God should encourage us. And another scripture verse along with this is, it's not on there. I'm going to read this, Psalm 119, 103. And it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love that. This is what the word of God is. They're sweet. They should be a joy to us. They should be a delight to us. What are you delighting in? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you desires of your heart. Well, desires of your heart should be reading the word, studying the word. And then we move into the area not only reading the word, but it talks about meditate. Meditate on the word. When I think of meditation, I go back a long ways, and I think of transcendental meditation, all those things. Eastern philosophy taught that. And this is what they taught. They said, you need to empty your mind. Just empty your mind, okay? And when you empty your mind, what are you allowing in? Are you allowing some demonic spirit to enter your mind? This is what happens when we empty our mind. Who's going to pierce that mind? Who's going to enter that mind? So we need to be careful. That's not what meditate means when it's talking about the Word of God. Meditation means, instead of emptying, Bible says to fill it. We need to fill our mind. What did we fill it with? The Word of God. We need to fill it with the Word of God. And I think about meditation, you know, I can read the Bible, and I read, check. Then I'm going, well, what did I get out of it? I don't even know what I just read. You know, I just read and read and read. And I love in the Psalms, it talks about Selah. Selah means pause. And I love that. We need to take our time when we're reading the Word of God. We shouldn't be in a hurry. We shouldn't just go through it. Selah, pause, meditate on it. Lord, what's it saying to me? What is your word saying to me? How does it apply to my life, Lord God? And come to the Lord with that. Meditate what the Word of God is saying. Come to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand this. What does this mean? Don't just go running through it, but take the time to pause. Pause, sit before the Lord, and sometimes take a pen and jot down as He's speaking to you. Write down, is God speaking to you? But a lot of times God will speak to me about things, and then I forget when He spoke to me about it the next day. And I'm not always a great student of writing everything down, but I'm encouraging myself and I'm encouraging you to jot these things down. And here's the good news. Meditating on the Word of God. Maybe you have a struggle meditating on the Word of God. Maybe you have a struggle that you don't find the time. Well, the good news is we're only required to do two times a day. And you're going, wow, that's me. Only two times a day. Well, here's something that I'm laying on to you. You know what those two times are? Day and night. Okay? Only two times you need to be meditating on the Word of God, which means constantly, right? All the time. So you thought you were getting away with it? You thought you were escaping? If that's you, then the Holy Spirit is convicting you, okay? Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Let the Holy Spirit challenge you. If that's something you struggle in, and you struggle in the reading of the Word of God, say, Lord, here I am. I'm struggling with this. And we'll have other, and brothers and sisters, if you know a brother and sister who's struggling in that area, then encourage them. Encourage them to get into the Word. The Word of God should be part of our lives, really, when it comes down to it. And a couple of scripture verses, Psalm 119, verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." All the day. So, well, I'm supposed to be sitting home reading the Word all the day? No, meditate on the Word. Meditate on what His Word has to say. Meditate on things of God. You're driving in the car. How many times have you drove and you get somewhere and go, "How did I get here?" Because God is constantly on your mind. You're constantly meditating on the Lord. That happens to me a lot of times. Like, "Lord, you know, I'm speaking to the Lord the entire time, and He's speaking to me, even though I'm driving." And this is part of the meditating on the Word. It doesn't mean you're going to sit 24/7 in your room and nothing else exists. But meditate on the Word. Let it be part of your life. Joshua 1:8. I don't have it up there. Okay. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, for you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it." We need to be obedient. We're not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Okay? "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You want to be prosperous? You want to be used by the Lord? You want to walk by faith? You want to sow the Word of God into others? Then get into His Word, and you will be prosperous, spiritually prosperous, when it comes to the things of God. Verse 3. Read it, and it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." There's the prosper again. You know, it was told to Joshua, "You're in this Word, you will prosper. Things are going to happen. Successful as far as the kingdom goes." And the Word is planted. I find this interesting, this verse interesting. It's a great verse to tear apart and look at. And it says, in the Bible, it says the Word plants us. We know the Lord plants us. We know God plants us. But the Word also plants us. And we see in John 15:1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." In other words, the Father is the husbandry. He's the gardener. I don't know about you, but I could find a great gardener. I'm looking for a gardener here to do this, take care of this, all the landscaping. Well, you want to look for the greatest gardener to weeding out the weeds in our lives, then go to the Word. Then go to what God's Word says. He's the husbandry. He's the vine dresser. He's the gardener. Okay, and when we do all these things, we allow Him to do this, what it is, this tree starts taking roots. It's planted, and it feeds us on nourishing us. I love this. This is a great comparison. We see that it's planted by water. And when it's planted by water, what's being played out is getting its source of nourishment, okay? A tree that's planted there is getting its source of nourishment. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Do I have that for you guys? No? Is up there? I just saw 7. I'm looking down and seeing the entire scripture. I'm looking up to see everything. I'm better at just reading this than looking up there. It's obvious. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." I love that scripture. And again, a tree planted by the water is a source of nourishment. It gets the nourishment, and it's growing. And then, and the water that's nourishing it, where the tree is being strengthened, is not only being strengthened, but it's taking roots. And the roots go deep. And the foundation of all this is the roots. And who is our foundation? Who is our rock? Where is the church built on? Where is the foundation built on? Where are the roots planted going deep? Is Jesus Christ. And this is what needs to be done. This is what's necessary. This is what's going on. This is what's being played out. Well, we see the tree being planted, but really it's saying, "Now, I'm the one who's going to nourish you. I'm the one who's going to give you the water." And the water I'm talking about is living water. We're going to take a look. That's the most important thing. As the water there gives nourishment, the living water will give us the nourishment that we need in through His Word, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And roots that take their source in human effort, it's going to wither, okay? But it's looking for a root system. And it'll never find the root system that's made available to us. It's looking for these things, and all the things that they're putting their roots in, it's going to burn, it's going to wither, it's not going to last. But with Jesus Christ, when it's rooted, when it's planted, when the foundation, it will take root, and it's for lasting, it's eternal. It will speak to us. And when you're searching for roots, it comes through prayer, and it not only comes through prayer, but it comes through His Word. Rivers of living water, John 7:38. And it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And I love, do you remember the story, the woman by the well? And the woman's by the well and the water, and Jesus having a conversation with her. Let's look at John. Did I put this up here? I might have not put it up there. John 4:13-15, is it there? No, okay. John 4:13, and it says, Jesus answered, she was talking about the water, and he said, water that they drink, and Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that she was talking about will thirst again, okay? Well, water from the well. But Jesus continues, says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And I love her response. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I might not thirst nor come here to draw. If you come to Jesus with that way, Lord, I want that water. I want that living water. I want to have it. You don't think God's going to answer that prayer. Come to the Lord saying, Lord, I want the water that will satisfy me. I want the living water that will complete me. Lord, I need the living water to live this life here on this side of eternity. God didn't turn his back on that woman, and he's not going to turn his back on you. He's going to answer that prayer. That's a great prayer. That's an awesome prayer. Like, here I am, Lord. Lord, I want everything you have. Nothing wrong with that. Go to the Lord. Lord, I want everything you have. I want to be used by you. I want you to fill me. I want my life to shine and be used for your glory, Lord. Lord, I yield to you. I surrender to you, Lord. I need to be filled afresh and anew with that living water. And the fruit we're talking about, the fruit we're talking about is Galatians 5:22-23. And we already went through this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit that's being born. And again, in season, we experience a season in our lives. Just like the fruit tree, it will bear fruit in its season. And we also will experience seasons in our lives. And we need to be careful of forcing God's hand. There are going to be some times there's going to be a dry season. Anybody who's ever gone through a dry season in their life, walking with the Lord? Yeah, I think we all have. You might be there now. Like, Lord, what's going on? I want to be used by you. What's going on? Don't force his hand, okay? Just because we're waiting on the Lord, just because it's a dry season, doesn't mean we just sit and wait on the Lord. We need to be proactive. How do we be proactive? By reading his word and by praying. And this is what God is doing to us. Prosper, it talks about prospering. We're not talking about temporal. We're talking about spiritual blessings. We're talking about walking by faith. We're talking about lives that are surrendered unto the beings of the Lord. We're talking about letting his light shine through us. Verse 4. Now we went from the second and third verse of positive, what is a godly person? What does that look like? Now we're going to take a look at the ungodly. Okay? And ungodly will come to you, and maybe you heard this, and they'll say, I don't need to read your Bible. I don't need your God. I'm content. I'm happy. Look at all the things I have. You talk about blessings. Look at the house I have. Look at the car I drive. Look at the job I have. Look at my family. These are all things that are temporal. All these things are going to burn, okay? But they're putting that on saying, I'm fine. I'm content. I'm happy. Well, God has something else to say about it. The ungodly or not so, okay? God is very clear on that. God's saying, I don't think so. I'm going to reveal to you, and I'm going to show you what is going to be done for those who never accept me, never bow their knee to me, the ungodly, the lost. And the lost doesn't mean that they can't come to Christ. We should be praying for them. But those who never bow the knee, who never confess Jesus as Lord, this is what the consequences, these are the things that they're going to face. You know, God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God, but he's also a just God. He's going to sort things out. Chaff. Now, I can, real quick, saying chaff, throw the grain in the air, weightless, empty, and the chaff blows in the wind. And that's fine. I could quick synopsis and move on, but I want to read something to you. It's a better understanding, maybe a better grasp of this. And I should have jotted down where I got this, and I didn't. I apologize, but it doesn't warn it. I always say everything that we take and all the things that we see and all the commentaries we take, the originator is the Holy Spirit anyway, okay? It doesn't matter who's penning it. It originally comes from the Holy Spirit. That's my take on it, and I'm sticking with it. It's the Holy Spirit. And we need to lean on the Holy Spirit. God spoke through someone and shared these truths. And it says, chaff is a loose outer covering on wheat and other grains that must be separated in the threshing and winnowing process of harvesting grain. In Bible times, grain was threshed or trampled, crushed, and beaten on outdoor threshing floors to separate out the inedible parts of the grain called the chaff. The lightweight chaff would be blown away or the wind or sometimes was burned as fuel. In this winnowing process, the grain was then tossed, which I talked about, in the air, the wind to further separate any remaining bits of the husk from the wheat. These bits are called chaff and they would be carried away like dust. And there's a great imagery through this. And threshing and winnowing with the hand were common in ancient times. But it allowed even a deeper understanding. What is really the meaning behind this? What's the significance behind it? What's the biblical imagery of this? The biblical imagery is this, is God is separating the good from the evil. And that's what he's going to do. And he will do it. And he will complete it. And that time is coming. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking, and he will sort it out. He will. You know, the people of God, we are blessed, and we're firmly established. Not so. Why? Because they're like chaff, and the wind's going to blow them away. Have you ever concerned yourself with the ungodly appear to be getting ahead? You ever thought of that? Have you ever considered that? Well, in Scripture, in Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, I don't know if you haven't. We have 36, no? Okay, shaking head, no. Okay, I'll read it. I forget what I gave Mike. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. This is what's going to happen. So don't fret that these seem to appear to be getting ahead. God's going to take care of it. God's not going to forsake his saints. He's going to sort everything out. He will sort it out. Verse 5, and it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Listen, they're going to stand before the judgment, and they're not going to be able to talk their way out of it. Anything they say is not going to carry any weight because their names are not written in the Lamb Book of Life, okay, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. And they're not going to be acquitted. God's going to pour out his wrath, okay? He's going to pour out his wrath. And for you and I, we deserve to have God pour out the wrath on us. Guess what? Because of our relationship with Jesus, because we've given our hearts to the Lord, that God has poured out the wrath that we deserve on Jesus Christ. So the wrath was poured out, but it was for us, but it was poured out on Jesus Christ. Those who don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to suffer. Their wrath, God will pour out their wrath on the last day of judgment. He will. The saints long for heaven. It's talking about the congregation of the righteous. We all long for heaven. And I'm here to tell you, no ungodly person shall dwell there. They're not going to be in heaven with us, okay? They're going to be separated, eternal damnation, total separation. We're sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And right now, again, I said God's going to sort all this out. He knows how better to do it than I could ever do. But right now in the churches, right now in all the churches, I'm not talking about this church, but what is going on in the churches today? There's wheats and there's tares. They're growing together. They're in this church today. Not necessarily this church, but they're in the churches of Jesus Christ today. There's wheats and there's tares, okay? There are. And he's going to sort it out. And because they're growing together, he's not doing it now. So we don't know. We don't know who the wheats are. We don't know who the tares are. We might have an idea who they are, but only God knows. And he's the one who's going to take care of it. He's the one, when comes the judgment, is going to take care of this. Again, they won't be there when we're around the throne. We don't deserve it, okay? But we're sinners by saved by grace, right? And again, let's look at Matthew 3:12. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Okay? Talking about, again, they're going to eternal separation from the Lord. They're going to be thrown in the lake of fire, the Satan. But everyone will be separated from God. It says there will be gnashing of teeth. I can't imagine that. We talked about, you know, what's that like? What's that look like? And I think of gnashing of teeth is, a lot of times they might have regrets. God might be playing back someone witnessing them, someone sharing to them. And there's nothing they could do about it. It'll be a gnashing of teeth. And a lot of times when we go through that, we get up and saying, wow, tomorrow's another day. Whew, man, I'm glad I got through that. Well, guess what? Tomorrow is not another day for them. It goes on and on and on for eternity. Okay? We need to pray for those who don't know Jesus. We need to pray for our family members. We need to pray for our friends. None of us want to see. God says that he desires that none should perish. Okay? But saying that, he desires that none should perish, but people will reject him. They have rejected him. Verse 6. And the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, excuse me. And he said, this is more than just recognizing. Well, I know you, I recognize you, I know you. Yeah, I know you, I recognize who you are. You know, but we know the Lord knows everything. He's omniscient. In this context, what it's saying, what the Lord knows you, is referring to a personal intimacy. This is what's going on here. It's a personal intimacy. How many know, because of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a personal intimacy. He has it with us and we have it with him. But it's saying, but I know those who are godly. I know their involvement. And I'm involved in their lives. I know everything about them. What's going on here is one way leads to life and one way leads to death. Scripture says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. Okay? Choose life. Last scripture verse, closing out, Matthew 25:46. And it says, and these will go, talking about the ungodly, which was just addressed in verses 4 through 6 we looked at. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God is going to sort it out. Because, you know, rejoice, because our names are written in heaven. Their names are written along the Bible. And we will be in eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who are lost, for those who are godly, they're going to face everlasting punishment. So why don't we bow our heads and close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, continue to be with us as we close tonight, Lord, and we just give you praise and glory. And we pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. This time we have a few minutes to we go time of prayer. And maybe you want to pray, and maybe you're struggling with reading the Word, and you need to come to the Lord and ask, Lord, help me in this area. Or maybe when we talked about the blessings, spiritual blessings that we all have, maybe you want to just declare and just give God glory, the blessings that you have, that God that's in your life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening, but you know, it's a time for you to come to the Lord, and whatever God has put in your heart, and just lead you in prayer and come to him. So why don't we open it up. Lord, I think about all the people when they're going to be separated from you, Lord. And we all have loved ones, Lord. We all have friends, Lord, that just heavy on our heart, Lord, and we've been praying for them. Lord, we continue to pray for them. We continue to pray for our family members, Lord God, who are not walking with you, Lord God. That if things don't change, Lord God, they're going to face the things that you just drew out in your word, Lord God. So we lift them up, Lord God, and just soften their hearts and be ready to hear the gospel, Lord God. Lord, just send someone the path. It's not us. Send someone the path to share the truth of the gospel with them, Lord God. That their ears will be open and receptive to receive what is being presented before you, Lord God. So, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you in advance for those who are going to come and bow their knee to you, Lord. When we close in service and prayer, Lord, we thank you for just who you are, Lord. And Lord, use us this week. Lord, let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to those around us, Lord. Lord, if you choose to use us, Lord, that you will be used in just choosing to sow your word into other people's lives, Lord God. It is your word that's active, alive, and sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts through the soul and the spirit, Lord God, the joint and the marrow, Lord God, the thoughts and the attitudes, Lord God, of the heart, Lord. So, Lord, again, we just yield ourselves to you, and we give you all the glory. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.